Oh, how are you doing? The mama's in the house, the babes are back at school, the schedule, the rhythm, life is back to normal. If you've got your Bible, hold it in your hand, and we are going to pray. Lord Jesus, we just love you so much. Gosh, we love you so much, God. And tonight, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here, wonderful Holy Spirit, and just invading our presence, because God, we need more of you. We need more of you every day. And so, Father, I thank you that you know about every girl here. You know about her life, what's going on. And God, I thank you that you have a word specifically just for her tonight. I pray, the Father, that each of us, we would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight. God, thank you for the girl on my left and the girl on my right. Thank you that you've put me here alongside of her. Thank you, God, that we are better together. And we just love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can high five someone or give them a little squeeze on their little muffin top. I have a little muffin top. It's too much information for the boys. They don't want to know all about that. Isn't it nice when your jeans maybe are a little bit loose? Because then it's not as big a muffin top, is it? But those jeans that you really think you can fit in and that you try. And I remember years and years ago, I had a girlfriend when she was teeny. She used to get a coat hanger to pull her zipper up. Her jeans were so tight. Isn't it weird what we do for fashion? Can you imagine that? Like, she would lay on her bed with this coat hanger, pulling the zipper up. Yeah, I don't understand it either, but whatever. You know, it's what we do, what women do. So it's good to be here. Here we are at a sister's night. It's so good to see everyone. And actually, I want to take a little moment just to honor some people because it's back to school time. And I know we have a number of teachers in our midst. And so if you are teaching this year, I wonder if you could stand to your feet right now. If you are a teacher, would you stand to your feet right now? Awesome. Keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. And now our hosts have a little something for you. We have a little $20 gift card to Starbucks, because who knows, coffee is very necessary when you are... And we've got one over here, Mallory, one right here. Thank you, thank you. And just stay standing. Can you just stay standing? I think we have enough gift cards for everyone, but we weren't too sure how many of you would be here. And so if you happen to get a card that says, that's actually not a gift card, just email. There's one of our staff members' name is on that. If you email her, we will get the gift card to you. We just weren't sure how many of you there would be. But we just want to honor you tonight and thank you for educating a generation of children who desperately need the Word of God and who desperately need great role models. Thank you for stepping in. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to get the girls around you just to lay hands on your shoulder. And we just want to pray for you. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you for these gorgeous women who have stepped up and said, yes, I will. I will. I believe that I am called to lead, to teach, to instruct children and young people. And God, I'm so grateful for them. And Lord, we live in such turbulent days. I know just even walking into the classroom, you don't know what you're going to get. But Lord, I pray for each of these women. I thank you that you go before them, you go behind them. Lord, I thank you that every day you will be dropping wisdom into their hearts. You'll be dropping a new kind of kindness and love. Lord, that you have gifted them to educate these young people. And I thank you that they are going to be tremendous role models to the children that they teach, that there will be so many young people in these women's classes who literally changed their world because these women were their teacher. God, we bless them, we honor them, we commission them for an amazing year in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It is no easy task, let me tell you, with gender identity stuff and everything else that is going on in our world. You know, it's quite frankly, some people are like, yeah, I can't do that. But I am so proud of each and every one of you for doing it. Really, I am. And I just honor you in Jesus' name. And I just know that God has called you and he has equipped you. So walk in that, girls. Walk in that and believe for an incredible year in Jesus' name. All right, how are we doing? I think we're good. Is there anything else I got to do? No, I think I'm good. Good. It's good. Isn't that worship amazing? Oh my gosh, when the women get together, it's like, whew, Holy Spirit just comes. I'm going to be sharing a message tonight, teaching on hope, and for a little bit, and then I'm going to interview one of our girls. And I was just thinking, oh, and please, can we be praying for, we've been praying for Houston, and we need to keep praying for South Texas. But Lord Jesus, can we just rebuke that storm in Jesus' name and send it out to sea? Lord Jesus, we trust you. Take it away. Because who knows, the United States cannot just, we don't need to be slammed again. And yet if it happens, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know God can save us from the furnace, but even if he doesn't, he's still God and he still has a plan. And so we as women of God and believers will rise to the challenge. These are crazy days that we live in, but he's put us here for such a time as this. And I don't know about you, but I feel more stirred than ever that I'm here for just such a time as this. So we're going to be talking about spreading hope. First of all, we have to have hope in our own heart, don't we? A number of months ago, my husband and I were on an airplane. Oh, before I start my little story, last time I saw you, well, since the last time I saw you, I have added a brand new grandbaby to our family. Would you like to see her? This is baby Lennon. Look at her. Oh, my gosh. So we have a little grandson, and now the little girls are starting to come. Look at that. I mean, that little face. She's like a little baby doll. And then the next little baby girl is sitting right here, and she's not showing herself yet. She's due in 2 days, so we need to pray. Brooke, for deliverance for her in Jesus' name. Let it be quick. Let it be painless. Whatever. The baby's coming out. It's all good. We know, right? We know. How many of you believe for supernatural childbirth? Yes? Yes. Yes, we went in and we prayed, but we labored our little booty off. And out came that baby, right? Whew. It's good. Anyway, a couple months ago, Steve and I were on an airplane. Now, obviously, we travel a little bit, but this wasn't your average little jet plane that you get at Norfolk Airport. It was a six-seater plane. Teeny plane. It's the kind of plane that when I first saw it a number of years ago, I said, oh, no, Steve, no. No, I don't want to just die with six people. I want about at least 50. If this plane's going down, I want a lot of company, okay? Not just six people. Actually, on this particular day, there's only four. There was the pilot and the co-pilot. We have great pilots in our church that, you know, that assist and help fly us, you know, on these little planes if we need to use them. And so on this particular day, pilot, co-pilot, great men, and Steve and I are in the back. And so we take off from Washington Dulles Airport on the way to Norfolk. And I'm sitting in the back. I think I've got some earphones in. I'm not really paying attention because honestly, I've been on this little plane a number of times now. So it's not, you know, it's like, okay, it is what it is, you know. And it's so funny because it reminds me of, okay, remember the old school Mickey Mouse cartoons? Do you remember the old school Mickey Mouse cartoons? Do you remember Mickey's plane? Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks just like that. Yeah, seriously. Little propeller at the front. Anyway, so we are on this plane. We're 10 minutes into the flight. So we've taken off and we're soaring. And I'm not even paying attention. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting in the plane, it's like this gust of freezing cold air comes whoop into the plane. How many know that's not a good sign? No. And so it literally just went whoop, and it actually took my breath away. I was like, whoa! And as I look up, the co-pilot's door had popped open. Yeah. And so he's grabbed the door, and he's literally pulling the door, but he can't close it. And so he's holding the door, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, not really. No, I'm not okay. And so his flight, now I know we're 10 minutes into the flight. And so it's like fear jumps in, doesn't it? When life just takes a completely different turn, fear jumps in. And so I am sitting there and I'm thinking, God, I've got grandchildren I'd like to see get older. That would be really, like, it was just, it's just this kind of stilted thought process that you're having. Oh my gosh, what's happening now? What is this really happening? And so, you know, it just made me think, because we were 10 minutes from the airport. You know, 10 minutes is very relative to what you're doing, isn't it? I mean, 10 minutes at the shopping mall is, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? How am I going to go into a store if I've only got 10 minutes? 10 minutes by the pool is like just 10 more minutes when you're sunning yourself and someone's bringing you a lovely cold drink. 10 minutes when you're chatting with a girlfriend about the really cute guy that you've just had coffee with, that's just not enough time. What about 10 minutes in the dentist chair when they're like, we've almost got this root canal, we just got to drill? Probably take about 10 more minutes. You're like, kill me now. 10 minutes in a plane with freezing cold air coming in felt like an eternity. Have you ever been in a situation in life where it just feels like, oh my gosh, stop everything now? The truth is, we had an amazing pilot. He just turned around, but he has to radio Washington, Dallas, and we've got some pictures. We did land safely. Oh, and all the angels did the hallelujah chorus and clue me. And all these, keep going, guys. I think there were 10 fire trucks that headed our way. And, you know, by the time you're on the ground, it's like, I don't need you now. I mean, if you could have flown up and helped, it would have been great. But life is like that. And every day things happen that can steal and rob us of our hope. Maybe you've found yourself saying in the last little while, I'm never going to make it. I'm just going to give up. This is just so unfair. Yes, girls, life can be really unfair at times. Or I just feel gutted. I am so disappointed. I really thought such and such was going to turn out differently. Years ago, we had some dear friends, and the husband was diagnosed with cancer. Just out of the blue, he just went for a random checkup. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And given, I think, about 15 months to live. And, you know, they were pastors, friends of ours who were pastors. And they just, it was just like a kick in the guts. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go in, and you just go in for a random physical, and it's like, well, I've just got this little thing, and then boom. And I remember getting with them, and it literally was like that. It was like they had a baseball bat in the stomach. It's like, you know what? I'm down. Like they've been winded. You ever been winded? You know what I'm saying? It's like, phew. And I just remember watching them. It's like they were down. And Christians, God bless us sometimes, were like, wow, where is their faith? I mean, come on now. I'm like, please, we're all human. And I watched them rally and gather themselves and put good people around them and get all the medical advice they could. And he went on to live 25 more years. So there you go, 15 months. But sometimes we can have a dilemma in life that hits us so hard that it literally takes us, almost can take us out of the life that we're called to live. Do you know, there's a book in the Bible called Hebrews. People are real kind of unsure about who authored this book. Some think Paul did, but others think, no, don't think Paul did, but it was someone probably that had a lot to do with him. But the Hebrews were Jewish people who'd been saved. They'd accepted Christ. They were living this life. And then guess what? Life got hard. Hello. Life got really tough. They started getting persecuted. It just was too hard. It's so unfair. I don't think I can do it. Stuff that we in the 21st century say. And you realize, has anything really changed? Only that God is still on the throne. That's the only thing that is unchanged. Humanity is the same. But in the book of Hebrews, these believers were slowly being dragged back into their old way of life. Does that sound like anyone we know? Some of them were like, well, I think I'll try that religion because that seems a whole lot better. Because sometimes we sign up for the good ship lollipop. Remember that? That's very old school. On the good ship, lollipop, ba da 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 da, candy stop, ba ba da ba ba. Yeah.
chip lollipop.
Yeah, there we go. That's all I know about it. But some of us have signed up for that. And when life gets hard, we don't understand. Well, God, are you there? Are you even, like, I prayed, but I didn't even know if he was listening. In fact, I don't even know, where is he? And I just want to encourage us girls, because there's a great scripture. The book of Hebrews is about 13 chapters. And right in the middle, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, there's this great scripture in the middle of this book where the Jewish people, these Jewish believers are like trying to figure out, I don't know if we can keep on in this Christian faith. And this is what it says, Hebrews 6, 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who has gone before us, has entered on our behalf. This hope that God in heaven sent his son Jesus for me, for you, knowing what we would be like, knowing who we are, knowing what we would do. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that you and I not could just get to heaven. I mean, that would honestly be in heaven, because heaven, whew, heaven, it's incredible. But he sent his son Jesus so that you and I would have a traveling partner in the lane of life that we're called to live. He didn't promise it would be a piece of cake. In fact, he says, in this world you will have trouble. We just didn't want to read that bit. Isn't that the truth? It's like, I don't like that chapter. Where's the next chapter? Where's the good stuff chapter? I want the abundant life and, you know, I just want it to be lovely and happy and fluffy bunnies and all that, you know? But this hope is Jesus. And the Bible says that his name is above every other name. Every name in heaven, every name on earth. And he is the only true hope for our tumultuous soul. Isn't that a great word, tumultuous? Don't you just love your soul some days? Don't you love your emotions some days? Those emotions that, a lot of the time lie to us, don't they? Fickle. If it works out, I'm happy. If it doesn't, I'm sad. You know, it's just like, but the only hope for our soul is Jesus. Only hope is Jesus. He's the anchor to our soul. I don't know if you've ever been boating. I've been boating because I have a husband who likes boating. And every now and again we'll go out, not very often because, you know, I'm not good at being not seasick because I'm a seasick person. So, you know, he's kind of figured out if he goes fishing, don't take me. Well, you know, yeah, it's not good. But there's a few times where we have dropped anchor. And there's something so great about an anchored boat. An anchored boat isn't going anywhere. An anchored boat is held firm and secure. An anchor is designed specifically for the kind of boat that it is to hold it in place. Every boat has a different kind of anchor. And so it is there, its prime job is to stop that boat, guess what, drifting. And so when the Bible talks about hope being the anchor of my soul, what's it doing? It's stopping me drifting. So when life gets so hard, it's like, I just think I'll try. I can't do any more. That anchor's like, meh. It'll let you go a little bit and then it gets tight. Whoa, you get back over here. Your life is anchored in Jesus Christ. You can't move away from that. Well, you can. You could deliberately. I could cut the anchor off. But then what happens? Have you ever seen a boat where no anchor? It just gets tossed to and fro. Eventually will wash up on shore, hit rocks, shattered. And how true of that, true is that of sometimes the lives that we see. May this hope in Jesus, may it anchor our soul every single day. writer of Hebrews tells us that the believers in their day were going back to their old way of thinking. Hello. Or hooking up with something that maybe offered something better, maybe some old friendships that were like, wow, you tried the Christian stuff. Come back out and party. But I was thinking about some of the things that we put our hope in. What's our thing that we run to when life gets very hard? Or sometimes that we stack our hope on. Maybe it's the success in our life that we've had, and success is great. But at the end of the day, it's not going to anchor you. It's awesome, but it's not going to anchor you. Maybe it's your business, but who knows? If you're in business long enough, you'll have your highs and your lows. You don't want to, you know, you need the anchor of hope in Jesus to weather the storm of the business. What about your money? And savings is awesome. But I remember Jesus talked to a rich young ruler in the New Testament who Jesus said, come follow me. Oh, what do I have to do, Jesus? Yes, I'm all about it. He said, okay, go sell everything you have and follow me. What was Jesus saying? I need to be the anchor in your heart, not the money. I don't care about the money. Money is great. But he was saying, what's the anchor in your soul? The Bible says the rich young ruler walked away sad. I can't have you, Jesus. My hope is in my cash. What about your family? We love our families. But honestly, people disappoint us. Our friends disappoint us. Our families cannot live up to unrealistic expectations. What about that cute boy? What about our possessions? What about our prominence? I'm telling you, girls, let this hope in Jesus. All that stuff I'm not saying is bad, but what anchors your soul? What is your trust in really? What is it in really? Things can be here today and gone tomorrow. I'm just going to interview one of our girls, Das. Come up here. Talking about hope anchoring our soul. I think they're going to bring just a couple of chairs. Thank you, guys. Because sometimes in life, it just doesn't go the way we had hoped. And so Das, this is beautiful Darcy. Do you guys all know Das? She's just stunning. You're good. Just right here is fine. Great. Perfect. Have a seat, Das. Good to see you. Das and her husband, Will, oversee our... I'll need them back in a minute, but that's okay. Whoa, they're taking my notes. Das and Will oversee Emblem. And they've been married 2 years, just celebrated 2 year anniversary. And they're just a cute little couple. You know, we just have these cute little couples in our church. And a couple months ago, well, let's say almost a year ago, Das finds out she's having a baby. And we're all so excited. Yes. And so she decides, so tell the girls, you thought about, okay, we're going in to have this baby, labor. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. So I might sound crazy to some of you, but one of my hopes was that, or my hope was that I would be able to do an unmedicated birth at a birthing center in Norfolk. So it has really limited space. So I called as soon as I found out I was pregnant, got accepted in. And yeah, so that was my hope, and I was really excited. We did a 2-month course.
She dragged her husband to 8 weeks. So it was a Lamaze, is that what they call it?
Basically, it was 2 months.
How many videos did he watch of women birthing babies?
At the end of every class, you watched a birth, like close up.
Don't we do some crazy things to our husbands?
They progressively
sometimes got
worse.
So
like,
anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah, so you're in these 2-month birthing classes. Yeah. You've got the doula.
Yeah.
You're going to, is it DePaul?
Yeah,
DePaul.
It's a birth center. Yeah, it's a birthing center. So it's
plus, Darcy is a fitness guru. So Das is at the gym. Were you at the gym every day while you were pregnant?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
A couple days a week, yeah.
You know, so she's got abs on abs on abs. I mean, she's fit. It's like... You did, Dash. I mean, you were pregnant. You didn't even look, you know. I mean, that baby was being held in tight by those awesome abs. I mean, you know how that happens. But anyway, so you get to 35 weeks, and then what happens?
So I get to 35 weeks, and I go into labor. I was at home. We actually had just had, like, an Emblem dinner after church on a Sunday night. And I just wasn't feeling right. You know, I just went to the bathroom and there was a bunch of weird things and I called the doctor and they were like, yeah, you should come in. So we went in, and when we got there, I wasn't going in thinking I was having the baby at all. But when I got there and they checked me, we were definitely having the baby. And that was like 5 a.m. when I was 35 weeks pregnant. So yeah.
Right. And so then you labor all day with no pain medication.
I labored 17 hours.
17 hours, which high five right there. High five. Then you start to, then they're like, okay, yeah, fully dilated, ready to push, go for it. You start pushing, and how long are you pushing for?
So I pushed for 2 hours with no progress, like, whatsoever. Right. So, like, he didn't move at all.
All the while, no pain meds.
Hanging out right there. Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you. I mean, this is legit. This is, like, and so right at the end, the doctor, I think, comes in and says, we're going to have to do a C-section.
Yeah. Yep. So right at the end, when I was super tired, she came in and she said, hey, you know, he is not moving at all. And it's been 2 hours. And just for your health and his health, we just need to get him out. And so, yeah, after all that.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So you, they give you an epidural, right?
Spinal.
Spinal. And you have the baby, and so the next morning you've got this gorgeous little baby. But talk to me. How did that feel in that moment?
Yeah. Just kind of disappointed. I know if it may sound silly to some people, but when you have a plan, I'm very much so a planner too. Yeah. So, like, this is how it's going to happen. It's going to be great. I'm not going to go super early, and there's not going to be any complications, and then everything that I thought wouldn't happen happened.
Yeah.
As soon as he was born, 4 hours late, like, they were able to lay him on my chest right away, but I wanted to nurse right away and all those things. But because he was so early, they had to take him away for 4 hours. So they laid him on my chest, and for 4 hours he was gone. And I was in recovery. My husband was able to be with him, though, so that was good. But as a mom and a first-time mom, not having your son for 4 hours after he's born is, not fun.
But he did pretty well for a preemie baby. Yeah. He was doing pretty well, and you got to take him home.
So we went home just normal. We were there for 2 days for C-section.
Yeah, so that was
so
great.
Went home. Yeah.
And then 10 days later, so talk us through that first 10 days.
Yeah. So we go home, and he's pretty fussy because he's preemie, and I had done a lot of research, and they had kind of told me, you know, most preterm babies are going to be a little more fussy. I mean, he should have been cooking for at least another 5 weeks. So we go home, and first 10 days are pretty rough. We go to the pediatrician office, and he is not really gaining weight. Actually, he's losing weight. And when you're spending all that time feeding and feeding, you're like, how is he losing weight? And then his temperature actually got down to 94. And so a low temperature and a high temperature also indicates an infection. So the pediatrician, so that was for about 10 days. There was no progress on weight or his temperature. And so the pediatrician then sent us to CHKD like immediately. And we were there for 3 days and 2 nights. And
with your new baby in the hospital. Yeah. And that's a scary moment. But do you know what I loved about you, Das? There was nothing. It was just the word of God was coming out of you. And that's what I want to say to the girls here. You know, like, I watched you, because I've known Darcy for 15 years. I mean, I've watched her grow up and now get married and have a little. And let's have a look at little Zany. We got two pictures. This is Zane. Look at him now. He's how many weeks old now?
He's 11 weeks.
11 weeks. Where's the other one? I think there's another. Yeah, look at him. Look at that little handsome boy. Oh, my gosh. But what I loved about you, Das, is that there wasn't a moment where I know that you were disappointed that, you know, the plans went very differently and then you end up in the hospital. No one wants to be in the hospital with a newborn baby.
Yeah.
But the anchor in your soul, I'm just so proud of you because I watched you and Will, and because he was early, this girl was feeding this baby around the clock. You were exhausted.
Yeah. And if I wasn't feeding, I had to pump to keep everything going. So I was feeding like every hour and a half through the night for weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And so he finally went for a 5-hour stretch at night. How old was he?
He was 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Yeah. So he didn't sleep much for a while either because he's preemie. Yeah.
And so I remember you just saying, I'm so tired. But I went to visit Das at that time, and I walk in her home, and there's praise and worship music going. You know what I mean? She was feeding her soul. It might have been just a, you know, very, very difficult time. It's like, gosh, nothing went according to what I thought it would. Yeah. But you were going, this hope in Jesus is anchoring my soul. Yeah. And that's what I loved about you, Das. And now, you know, you're just enjoying your little guy. And yeah. Look how beautiful he is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think like one of the things that God really spoke to me through it all was that Zane, my son, is so dependent on me. I mean, everybody's kids are. But it really taught me, I felt like the whisper from God was like, I'm teaching you to be more dependent on me. Because yeah. I've been a Christian for so long, and it's easy to just, you know, everything's going to be great. It's easy to trust in God when things are easy. But when things don't go according to plan, it's so much harder. And, you know, even during my labor, I had my husband make a playlist, and I had to have that because I didn't know if my son was going to come out healthy or not. They were hoping he was at least 5 pounds, but he was 6 pounds, 10 ounces.
Good.
So it was good. But yeah, just the presence of God. I mean, you need that, not just in easy times, but in the hard times.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, Das. Yeah. Love you. Thank you. Isn't that great? All of us who are moms, you know what? In Australia, we called these young girls with babies yummy mummies, because in Australia, mum is M-U-M, but it doesn't kind of translate here, yummy mommy, does it really? But all these yummy mummies with these gorgeous little babes. But you know what? I just look at Das and I just go, you know what? Each of us on our journey are going to be thrown, you know, something that is so random that we didn't think would happen. You know, Das thought, oh, no, I'm fit. You know what I mean? Our hope can be in our fitness. And yet even our bodies can let us down at times. Our hope has to be anchored in who Jesus is. Hebrews 13:8. I'm going to get the band to come up. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ. So at the end of this wonderful book of Hebrews, you know, in the middle, the author is saying, and this hope is an anchor for your soul. It's going to hold you firm and secure. And as he's talking to the Hebrews, he's talking about the uncertainty. Yeah, life is happening. And yes, it is getting hard. And girls, we live in a world where there's so many things that are uncertain. But this is what, in the last chapter of Hebrews, the Bible says this, 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? The only certainty in your world is Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. It's the only certainty. You know, our staff girls have been reading a book by Lisa Turkhurst, who's coming to our devoted conference, and I'm so excited. And guys, if I can get my Bible up here for a minute too. And so we're reading her book, Unglued. Thank you. And she was telling this story, and some of you may have read this book, and if you haven't, grab it, because it is so good. But she tells this story about, you know, she'd just spoken in an arena and to this women's conference, and she leaves with the other speaker, and they're out in the green room, and someone runs in and gets her and says, there's a grandma out in the arena, and she's just on her face, and she's sobbing in the arena. Can you guys come? And she tells this story about how this grandma just got a message that her two grandbabies had been killed in a fire. And she said, and they were these little grandbabies she just had a couple weeks before. It's just unimaginable. And Lisa said, we just grabbed her hand and, you know, we just started to pray. And what do you pray? We didn't even really know what to pray. But she said, I noticed that when my friend prayed and said the name of Jesus, because this woman could almost barely breathe. But I noticed that as she said the name of Jesus, the grandma started saying Jesus. And so we just stood there and we just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because there's just something about that name. Something about the name of Jesus. In your toughest times, girls, there's just something about that name. Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, even young people, grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who fully trust in Jesus, those who anchor is the name of Jesus in their soul, will renew their strength, girls. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.